Senate Republicans have introduced a legislative ethics reform package. Joining us to talk about that and other issues is State Senator Jason Berrickman, who represents part of Bloomington Normal. Among other things, the several bills would provide state's attorneys with wiretap authority. Is there an erosion of constitutional checks and balances to taking that authorizing function away from judges?
No, I think this is an appropriate tool, both under the Constitution and importantly, it's a necessary tool. I think it allows us, you know, it's long been debated, this issue, but it's a tool that would allow those in law enforcement, state's attorneys, to be able to gather information necessary to pursue their investigations. Certainly appropriate.
What is the problem it's fixing? Why can't prosecutors go through judges now and get that done?
Well, it could be any number of things, including the procedures of going to the court. There can be delays that occur through the courts. There can be other logistical type things that inhibit those state's attorneys from proceeding and gathering that type of information, evidence.
Courts have generally held wiretap orders to be the province of the courts. This is extended to the electronic era, where law enforcement has needed court authority to get into cell phone records and GPS data from phones. It's an area where the late Justice Antonin Scalia was quite vocal. How will this legislation avoid potential unreasonable search issues?
Well, the proposal is limited to certain offenses that may have been committed, and requires the state's attorney, to meet those burdens, that they're only pursuing this on those qualified offenses. It's very limited in nature. It limits them to, a certain amount of time to be able to do that. And the goal here is to give to the state's attorneys this tool, but limit it and say, look, you can only use it in certain instances as qualified offenses. You can only use it for a certain amount of time. The amount of time subject to, when you're able to actually go before the courts, all in which is designed to limit this to those areas where it's necessary.
And the area is defined as public corruption, or are there other areas that it could be useful for?
Well, there's a list of qualifying offenses that are identified in the legislation. I don't have the list in front of me at the moment, but the list is designed to be narrow in nature, narrow in scope, and that's what we're proposing forward here.
Another measure would allow the Attorney General's office to impanel a statewide grand jury to investigate and prosecute bribery and misconduct by lawmakers. How is that better than existing investigative options?
Well, this has long been one of the concerns that have existed in Illinois. Many of our attorney generals and candidates for attorney general have pointed out the fact that they really lack, although the public perceives the state's top lawyer as being someone who should be able to conduct certain criminal investigations, candidates for attorney general and the attorney generals themselves have pointed out that they do not have the tools that would be necessary for them to pursue things like this. So a statewide grand jury would allow an attorney general who would have jurisdiction far beyond the limited county jurisdiction that a state's attorney has here. Again, we're talking about this in the context of bribery, misconduct by members of the General Assembly. Those things could exist in a member's legislative district, which could be multiple counties. It could exist somewhere else in the state if the member were traveling. We saw some of those things occurring under the members who've now since resigned, but we had members who were out meeting with other people where there was discussion of bribery and things of that nature. The point here, Charlie, is that the state attorney general would have jurisdiction over the entire state, not be limited to actions that occurred in one specific county.
The legislative package includes a number of provisions to limit lobbying, and you've spoken about lobbying limits with great force before on Sound Ideas. And Senate Bill 4014 would also give the Legislative Inspector General authority to investigate lawmakers without first getting permission from the Legislative Ethics Commission, which is comprised by lawmakers. Is this dog gonna hunt? I mean, lawmakers have typically carved out oversight of lawmakers for themselves in terms of the Open Meetings Act, in terms of the Freedom of Information Act, in terms of the Legislative Ethics Commission. How are they going to be willing to give up this authority?
Well, I think this is an area where the public, it helps when the public weighs in, and the public's obviously, I think, fed up with the you know, lack of integrity that seemingly exists in our state's public officials. This is an area where, you know, under current law, the fox is guarding the hen house, and we can do something about this. The current legislative inspector general, previous legislative inspector generals, have asked for more independence from the legislature. I think it's totally appropriate that be done. I think that not only given the current news, but given Illinois' long history of public corruption, if we're going to be serious about regulating ourselves, part of what we have to do is relinquish control over that oversight and that regulation. The legislative inspector general is designed to be a person of high integrity. I think we have to trust that person to use the proper judgment in determining whether there's been conduct by sitting lawmakers that warrants some type of action. And the inspector general has said correctly, she does not have that authority to act independently today, and I think we should give her that independence.
That bill would also make the commission all members of the public rather than the General Assembly. But the appointees would still owe their positions to the General Assembly. So while you have a shot at independence, it's not a guaranteed thing there.
Well, there's no perfect system, I think, that could ever exist. So what we're trying to do is move the ball in the right direction. And again, I think given the public's ongoing concerns with the activities of public officials, bringing in the public here and giving them a role, I think, is appropriate.
Switching topics now, what does Illinois need in a federal pandemic relief package? What are you telling the congressional representatives the state absolutely must have?
Well, look, first of all, I think you've got to acknowledge the significant challenge that exists in getting Washington, D.C. to come to an agreement on this. That may or may not occur.
Well, actually, it appears it probably won't happen until after the election right now.
Yeah, so, you know, I've long said it's very difficult to predict what, if anything, will come out of Washington, D.C. That often is on nothing. I think the election could play a role in how this plays out. I don't know yet, Charlie, what will become possible. We recognize that in the state we face monstrous fiscal challenges, some of which have erupted from COVID, some of which are part of our state's legacy of being incapable of balancing its own books. So if Washington's going to come forward and help, obviously we want to be a part of that, but predicting the challenges out there right now are very difficult.
A variety of polls show a majority of Americans trust President Trump more than Vice President Joe Biden to manage the economy. Yet the economy is not doing well, and historically sitting presidents during economic trouble don't do well at the ballot box. Those are conflicting themes. What do they mean for November?
Yeah, again, it's just terribly difficult to predict November because I think that the added variable here is COVID, and people are obviously living through this COVID world, and that may have a significant impact on the election outcome. I don't purport to be someone who can read the crystal ball on the elections. Obviously, we've got a lot of new news related to Trump's Supreme Court nominee. All these things are going to go into voters' minds as they continue. You know, some people are casting votes already, so as they continue to cast votes, I don't know, Charlie, where we'll land. I presume that it's going to be a close election, and I presume that when the election's over, we're going to hopefully move to a stable and less, strenuous time in our country. I think there's a lot of anxiety that exists among voters on both sides of the aisle, you might say, and I look forward to the time when we move beyond that.
What do you make of the New York Times reporting on the president's tax returns?
Well, that is, I haven't read the report, although I've seen the news reports of the report. And look, I think any time you try to make sense of someone's tax return, it becomes difficult. I happen to work in the real estate industry. I understand the manner in which information is reported to the IRS related to those with real estate holdings. And it can be a very complicated issue for the public to digest, especially when it's thrown at them in the weeks before an election. So, while I think there will be some continued attention to this, I think the real drivers of how people are going to vote in this election are going to be some of these other issues. It's going to be the president's handling of the Supreme Court nominee. It's going to be his handling of COVID. And it is going to be the economy. You pointed out that the economy has gone through a rough turn. There is something to be said of how you measure that, right? I think in our community, we have people who are certainly out of work. We have small business owners who've been put out of work. Some of it's related to COVID directly. Some of it's related to the government's and specifically the state's actions in regards to that. So these are difficult issues, none of which I think are solely indicative of how the election will go.
State Senator Jason Berrickman is a Republican from Bloomington Normal. We talk with Senator Berrickman about once a month on Sound Ideas. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie. Always good to talk to you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org.